5, Section 4, Slavery in Alabama. As you read, look for how black people came to Alabama, how slaves lived, the invention that changed Alabama's economy. Terms, cotton gin, economy, mill. The first black people to settle in Alabama arrived with the Spanish. When De Soto came to this land, he brought African men with him. Later, a few black people settled with the French in Mobile. By the early 1800s, there were thousands of Africans in the South. Almost all of these black people were slaves. Slavery. The first slave ship to come to America was a Dutch ship. It brought African slaves to Jamestown, Virginia in 1619. Slaves were brought into Mobile in 1721 on the ship Africaine. The slaves were forced to work. They could not quit their jobs or leave the area. The last slave ship. The Clotilde was the last known slave ship to come to America. Bringing slaves into the United States was against the law after 1808. But in 1860, the Clotilde sailed on a bet by the ship's owner. He bet that the ship could bring slaves into Mobile. The plan was to do this right under the noses of federal agents. The slaves were transferred to a steamboat and kept hidden. A ship's pilot guided the boat at night up Mobile Bay to Clark County. They stopped where the Alabama and Tombigbee Rivers meet. These enslaved people were members of several tribes in West Africa. After the Civil War, some settled in an area near Mobile called Africatown, USA. The last survivor of the illegal voyage was Cudjoe Lewis, whose African name was Gazula. In 1860, about one-third of Alabama families owned slaves. Half of those owned fewer than 5, and many others owned fewer than 10. However, a planter in Greene County owned 647 slaves. Most slaves worked on plantations. Planters in Marengo, Dallas, Greene, Montgomery, and Madison counties owned the greatest number of slaves in the state. These counties are in the Black Belt and Tennessee River Valley. Cotton grows well in the rich soil of these areas. The life of slaves. Slaves worked at different jobs. Some worked as field hands in the cotton fields. They planted, plowed, chopped, and picked cotton. They also had to remove the seeds from the cotton. The field hands worked from sunrise to sunset. Other slaves worked in and around the planter's home. Most of these were cooks, carriage drivers, kitchen helpers, garden workers, maids, or butlers. Older women carried for young children during the day while their parents worked. But even slave children worked. They carried water, gathered eggs, ran errands, and pulled weeds. Slaves on the large plantations lived in cabins behind the big house. The cabins were usually one or two rooms with a fireplace. Instead of glass windows, they had wooden shutters. The floors of cabins were rough boards or just dirt. Furniture might be chairs, a rough table, and beds stuffed with corn husk or cotton. Plantation owners provided food for the slaves. They usually had salt pork, sweet potatoes, molasses, dried peas, fresh vegetables, and cornmeal to make bread. Some slaves grew vegetables behind their cabins. Sometimes the slaves killed and cooked squirrels or rabbits. Some slave owners, masters, did not give the slaves enough food. Masters gave out clothing twice a year. If slaves had shoes, they were rough and often caused blisters. House servants often had better clothes than field hands. Many times the house servants wore hand-me-downs from the planter's family. Some slaves had to wear the same clothes all year round. The plantation owner's wife most often treated sick slaves. She used a thick home medicine book to help her know what to do for the sick. most people depended on herbs and other folk remedies. Some white families had the nearest doctor come out to treat slaves in emergencies. Beliefs and customs of slaves. When two slaves wanted to get married, the man would ask the master, who often married the couple. There might be a party at the wedding. Sometimes a couple married by doing something simple. One common custom was to hold hands and jump over a broom. Most owners wanted slaves to marry and have large families. The planters wanted more slaves to work on the plantation. Religion was important in the life of a slave. To die and go to heaven seemed better than being a slave. Some of the songs we know today began when slaves sang about their hope for a good life in heaven. Songs like, "I Got a Robe," tell of the slave's desire to be in heaven. Slaves kept many of their African religious practices. These customs included group singing, public ceremonies, and the special use of water. They developed a special style of preaching. These African practices blended well into most Christian churches in the South. Some slaves had their own church meetings. Others went to the same church as the master's family. The slaves sat together at the back of the church or in the balcony. Some churches in Alabama had more slaves than whites attending services. Preachers for the slaves might be slaves themselves. Sometimes wives of planters or white clergymen led the services. Slave codes. There were many laws concerning slaves. The slave codes were laws made to control the slaves in every way. It was against the law to teach slaves to read or write. Slave children did not go to school. However, the wives and daughters of some plantation owners taught their slaves to read from the Bible. Sometimes an owner taught math to a slave so the slave could help the owner keep records. Planters were fined if caught teaching their slaves. By law, slaves could not carry weapons, own land, or speak against a white man in court. Slaves could not own a dog, a horse, a mule, or a hog. They could not spend time or food caring for an animal. If slaves broke a law, they would be whipped or worse. One of the worst things about being a slave was being sold. Buying and selling slaves was a common practice. Some masters sold slave families together. Others sold the father to one planter and the mother and children to another planter. The family might be separated by hundreds of miles. By Alabama law, a mother and her young children had to be sold together. This law was not always obeyed. Free blacks. Not all blacks in Alabama were slaves. When the Alabama Territory became a state in 1819, only one black person out of 85 was free. During the next 40 years, the number of free blacks grew, but not nearly as fast as the number of slaves. Some free blacks owned slaves. Blacks gained freedom in several ways. A small number of slaves bought their freedom. Sometimes slaves with special skills were allowed to work outside the plantation. Some worked at mining, and others worked at construction, building. The owners let them keep a small part of the money they earned. Sometimes a master would give a slave his or her freedom. Children born to a free mother remained free. When they gained their freedom, most blacks did not stay on the farms. They moved to towns to find jobs and places to live. Some free blacks worked as carpenters, cooks, and barbers. Others worked in factories making mattresses and shoes. Many had learned these trades while they were slaves. There were also special laws for free blacks. They had to carry passes to prove they were free. They could not vote and had only a small chance to get an education. Cotton gin increases amount of cotton grown. Alabama's Black Belt is known for the dark color of its soil. Early settlers learned that this dark, sometimes sticky soil was good for growing cotton. Alabama's climate gave cotton the long growing season it needed. Eli Whitney's invention. After cotton was picked, the small seeds had to be removed from the bolls. This was done by hand, and it took hours of work. Once the seeds were gone, the short white fibers were spun into thread. Then the threads were woven into cloth. In 1793, a young inventor named Eli Whitney changed all of that. He made a simple machine that could take the seeds out of the fiber. Whitney named his invention the cotton engine. That was later shortened to cotton gin. To use a cotton gin, one man turned a crank handle. This action turned rollers with metal teeth on them. When cotton was fed into the machine, the teeth took the seeds out of the fiber. Later, larger gins were built. The large gins used the power of horses or water. Cotton Kingdom. In 1820, Alabama grew only a small amount, 4%, of the United States cotton crop. The use of the cotton gin changed that. Alabama's cotton harvest increased to 23% of the nation's total crop. As people wanted more cotton, more workers were needed. This meant more slaves were put to work in the fields. As use of the cotton gin spread, landowners grew more cotton. Whitney's invention made a big difference in Alabama's economy. The economy includes all the things people do to make and sell goods and services. It helped Alabama become the cotton kingdom of the South. The worldwide market for cotton grew rapidly. This was because more cotton was needed for the textile mills of Great Britain and France. These mills were factories built near rivers with swift-flowing water. The water turned a water wheel that then moved the factory parts. The first mills were grist mills. The water wheel moved a heavy stone to grind wheat or corn into flour or meal. Most of Alabama's cotton was shipped out of Mobile. Cotton grown in the Tennessee Valley was shipped on the Tennessee River. The route was west, then south, to the port of New Orleans in Louisiana. Think it through. 1. Describe the life of a slave. 2. How did slaves practice their religion? 3. How did the cotton gin change Alabama? Chapter Review. The following is a summary of Chapter 5. Pioneers moved into Alabama along the Federal Road, the Natchez Trace, and the Huntsville Road. Some people, called squatters, lived on land that did not belong to them. Others, called speculators, bought large tracts of land to sell for a profit. Most pioneers lived in simple log cabins. They cleared the land and farmed it for a living. They helped each other and got together for fun. Pioneer schools were usually in log buildings, and they had few books or supplies. The children memorized their lessons. A group of French settlers came to present-day Demopolis. The settlement was called the Vine and Olive Colony. The people later moved to cities along the Gulf Coast. Most people who grew crops were called yeoman farmers. Those with larger amounts of land were called planters. Planters owned slaves who worked the land and cared for the planter's family. Life for a slave was very hard. A small number of African slaves were freed and able to work for money. Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin in 1793. It made cotton a very important crop in Alabama.